8 years ago when I moved into the community where I now live, there were not that many frum families. I mean, there were about 100 frum families, 150 frum families that lived in the area, but thousands of houses. An unbelievable number of houses had security systems outside that every time you walked by the house, lights went on. And it was very difficult to figure out how to walk out of your house to, let's say, a Shalom Zachar on Friday night without turning on lights along the way. So now, thank God, so many more frum people are moving in and everyone's disabling the outdoor motion detectors, so it's becoming less and less of a problem. But the shaila becomes, this is very common, even in cities. A lot of times cities will put up to conserve energy. They'll make the street lights motion sensitive. So you're going to be turning on lights as you're walking down the street all over the place. So to what extent do we have to worry about this? So first of all, the most common examples are outdoor security lights in residential neighborhoods, like in my neighborhood. Also very commonly, this comes up by hotel rooms, that hotels realized that when people check into a hotel, they don't care about the electric bill. So they'll just leave the lights on all day, whether they're there or not there. They'll leave the water running, the lights on. They don't care because it's the hotel room, so they don't mind. So the hotels, in order to save money, have put in motion sensors. And if it goes 15 minutes without sensing any motion, so it will turn off the lights. And the second you walk in the room, it will turn the light on. So it comes up very commonly in that case. What we're not going to discuss is the wide variety of minor electrical transmissions that are made when your motion is sensed but aren't really doing anything perceptible. Like when a motion sensor senses you and you see that a little LED light turns on the thing, or that the lights stay on because obviously it's sensing you. We're not going to get into that. We're going to get into something that's clearly perceptible. You're walking down the street and the lights turn on. So that's something clearly perceptible. Let's discuss that issue. So general introduction, there are three reasons to have motion sensors. One, it prevents intruders from breaking in under the cover of darkness. They'll feel like, oh my gosh, everyone can see me because the lights are on. Number two, provides light for anyone coming in and out of the house, and for people walking by, it makes it easier because they could see the sidewalk much better. And number three, it saves electricity, and that's why a lot of municipal lights work with motion sensors. Now, how does it work? So I don't really fully understand the technology, but essentially there are two types of technology. Rabbi Bleich explains in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 5, that there's passive infrared technology, which detects the heat of the human body, that when it sees a change of the heat of the human body moving somewhere else, it's able to send a message to the light to turn on. And there's ultrasound technology, which is very high frequency ultrasound that senses any motion within the range of the motion detector and will cause it to turn on. And there are many others that combine both of the technologies in order to avoid any false triggers, that it needs to see both before it turns anything on. So what are the heterim, if any, to be able to walk out of your house on Shabbos when you live in a neighborhood like North Woodmere, where there are so many lights, like North Woodmere used to be, where there's so many lights all over the place that are always going to turn on? So number one, there's a tshuva sefer called Cheshev Ha'efod, Chelek Gimel Siman Pei Gimel, where he tries to use a combination of two shitas. The shita of the aruch, that a psikresha de lo nichale is potter, that anything that happens automatically, but you're not in favor of and you don't benefit from, you're not interested in, that you're going to be, that's going to be completely mutter. We don't paskin like the aruch, but there is that shita. And there's also a shita of the Rashba, the Magen Avraham quotes, and Shinta Zayin, Sifkat Nir Aleph, that let's say you have a deer that ran into your house, and you happen to want to close the door of your house. Nothing to do with the deer. The deer's nice. You don't mind it. You know, let it stay as long as it wants. But you want to close the door of your house. But by closing the door of your house, you're going to be trapping the deer. Maybe there's a whole stampede of more deer that want to come in, and you just want to keep them out. So you want to close the door of your house. You're not intending to trap the deer. Rashba writes that that's permissible. So even though we don't paskin like either one of those opinions, maybe when you put the two together, it's enough that we could be makel with the motion sensors. Problem is that, first of all, to even categorize it as lo nichale is a big chiddush to me. If I'm walking down the street and it's dark and I don't see so well, and all of a sudden someone's bright security lights turn on, I see a little better. Makes it a little easier to walk down the street. I don't know that that's so lo nichale. If it wasn't Shabbos, I'd probably be okay with it. So some say, no, you don't want to feel like you're being accused of being an intruder or something, and when the lights turn on, no, if you're really just minding your own business, walking on the sidewalk, I don't feel like you feel like you're being accused. I don't feel guilty about it, right? So it seems that it's nichale. I don't see why it's lo nichale, or even why it's lo echbatle. I don't think it's something you don't care about. You do benefit a little bit from it. Also, the Rashba Shita may not be different than the Aruch. There are achronim that suggest that the Rashba Shita is because Psikresh Dolonichale is mutter. Or there are others that suggest Rav Yisrael Meltzer and Evan Azel suggests that the Rash was only a din in Seda. It's dafka din in that malacha. It can't be applied to other malachas. So to use this combination of shitos is very, very difficult. Second possible kulah, Rav Vazner writes in Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel, Simen Mem Aleph, that this is different than a normal psuk reisha. Normal psuk reisha usually involves a direct act on the object that's doing the malacha. You're pulling the bench that's digging a hole in the ground. So there's direct act on the object that's doing the malacha. In this case, you're doing an ordinary, completely innocuous act that's not modified in any way. You're not changing anything that you would normally do. You're just walking down the street. Nor are you physically connected to the Isser in any way. Maybe that's even less than a Pesuk Reisha D'lo Nichalei. Maybe in that case, everyone would be moda that it's Mutter. That's where Rav Vazner uses that Svara to allow self-winding watches. You're not really doing anything. The watch is doing everything on its own. You're just going about your business on a regular day. Another svara, third svara to be makel, Rav Bleich in Contemporary Halach Problems, Volume 5, suggests that in general, in order to be liable or culpable for any avera that you do, there needs to be a maisa avera. You need to do some sort of maisa. There's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam in Baba Kama Dav Yud Amar Aleph in Tosfos that the force of one's body weight does constitute a maisa. So for instance, if you're sitting on a bench and then someone else comes and sits on a bench and it breaks, Rabbeinu Tam holds your chayev also. When he sat down, you weren't breaking anything, so that wasn't the maisa that was mechayev you. When the other guy sat down, it was just your weight. You were just there. So why are you chayev? Where's your maisa? Apparently, using the force of your weight is considered enough to be a maisa, and that really seems like the Gemara says that way in Baba Kama Dav Chav Zayin, when it talks about the case we were talking about in Shir, when you got blown off a building and you damaged something, where the force of your weight is considered a maisa. But says Rabbi Bleich, yeah, the force of your weight is a maisa, but is just being there a maisa? Just the fact that you happen to be in place, the sensor detects your body heat. It's not the force of your weight. It's not you pushing anything. It's nothing. It's not a maisa at all. In fact, the maisa of moving is not what turns on the light. It's just being there that turns on the light. It's that it senses that you are there when you move, because it senses that there was a change in where the heat went. So that's what turns on the light. Being there is not a maisa at all. So maybe even mutter for that reason. Rabbi Bleich also quotes from Rav Moshe Kessler, another svara to be makel, that since you have no idea which step that you take is going to turn on the light, meaning you know this house has a light on. Let's say you know this house has an external light, but you don't know which step in front of that house is going to be the one that's right in front of the motion sensor that turns on the light. So each step is what we would call a suffix psik reisha. It might be the step where it's a psik reisha that the light is going to turn on. So here's a famous sheet of the Taz in Or Chaim Sim Shinta Zayin Siv Gimel, and the Bir Alach, who quotes many others that agree with this Taz, that let's say you have a box that may or may not have an animal inside of it. You can't see. So the Taz says you're allowed to close the box. Why? That's a suffix psik reisha. If there's an animal, it will trap it. If there's no animal, it won't trap it. Suffix psik reisha is like a davashena miskavin, and therefore it's completely mutter. However, should be noted, there are a few problems with this. First problem is not everyone agrees with the Taz. Rabbi Kiveger and Yardeas and Pezayin, in the context of a discussion of stoking the fire underneath a pot owned by a guy that has blios of basar and chalav in it, that discusses that it's even though it's a suffix, whether it has blios of basar and chalav in it. So if it does have blios of basar b'chalav, by stoking the coals, you're cooking basar b'chalav, psik reisha that you're cooking basar b'chalav. But if it doesn't have basar b'chalav in it, then you're not doing anything. So that's a suffix psik reisha. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that the Rama is machmir over there. So that's one problem over here, that not everyone agrees that a suffix psik reisha is actually mutter. The other problem is that if you know that this house has motion sensors on it, and you know that when you walk across this person's sidewalk, you're going to be turning on a light. You're just not sure which step it is. I don't know that you call that a suffix psik reisha. When a person brushes their hair and they know that it's going to remove hair from their head through several strokes of the brush, we don't call that a suffix psik reisha. That's us. It's a psik reisha that you're going to be removing hairs from your head, even though each stroke may not necessarily be removing hairs from your head. So I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that we would call that would even be categorized as a suffix psik reisha. The final svara lakula is that a lot of these motion detectors have a time delay. delay that prevents slight vibrations from setting it off. And if there's a time delay, depending on your definition of grama, may make it a grama. 15-second, 30-second time delay may turn it into a grama. Now, grama doesn't mean everything's mutter. The Ramban Or Chaim Shin Lamed Dalet Siv Chav Beis says you can only do grama when there's a tzorach gadol, but presumably the need to walk out of your house on Shabbos would constitute a tzorach gadol. But the need to stay on the sidewalk and not just walk in the street a little bit does not cross the street, that's probably not a tzarech gadol. So grama may not be the best thing to rely on. But Shlomo Zalman points out that if it's a grama on a psuk reisha, the lo nicholei, then for sure it's going to be a mutter. And especially you add in that it's a drabanan. If the lights are not incandescent bulbs and it's a drabanan on a grama on a psuk reisha, and I don't think it's lo nicholei. I think it is nicholei, but still maybe there's enough over there to be makelith. Now certainly if you know where the lights are, I don't see anyone who would say to just forget about it, just go. It doesn't matter to you. No, I think it does matter to us, and we try to avoid it. The question is how much guilt should you feel when you walk by and you didn't realize and the light turns on. The other question is, do you have to stop somebody else? Let's say you have a guest over and you're giving him directions how to get to where he needs to go, and you know that there are lights along the way. So do you have to tell him each house where he needs to cross the street, or can you just let him go? Do you have to try to stop him? So there is a svara to say that in that situation, he's a complete misasik. It's not even a shogeg. A shogeg means you don't know that it's Shabbos, or you don't know that it's asur to turn the light on Shabbos. Over here, he knows both of those things. He doesn't even realize he's turning on a light. That would have a din of misasik. The Nesivus in Makor Chaim and Or Chaim Sim Tav Lamed Aleph holds that a misasik isn't a maisa avera at all, and it doesn't require kapara. So if that's the case, then there's no need to stop a person who's about to do something b'misasik. Now, not everyone agrees with that. Rabbi Kiveger in Tshuva Sim Ches and Baba Kamach Avavim Beis holds that misasik is a maisa avera. It's just a little bit less than a shogeg. But there's reason to argue that even Rabbi Kiveger might be mulled over here, that it's not necessary to inform somebody who's about to walk in front of the lights. Be that as it may, this is going to become an increasingly bigger and bigger problem as more things are attached to motion sensors. And obviously the much bigger problem is, the thing that we need to contend with also, maybe we'll have a separate shiur on, is what about all the things that you don't notice that you're setting off motion sensors on? The things that aren't perceptible to you, whether it be the crosswalk thing, or the motion sensor realize you're in the hotel room, you get a guy to walk into the hotel room for you. Good, so the guy turns on the light. Now the guy leaves, and you're just in there walking around. Why are the lights not turning off after 15 minutes? Because the motion sensor obviously senses that you're there. So there is something going on. So those types of things are going to be much, much bigger issues that need to be dealt with. Maybe we'll have a different share about that. But this is at least to keep hold us over for walking around the Northwood Mirror on Shabbos. Okay, so you're all invited to come.